Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm on today with Jen Oshman, who is a writer, a mama, a ministry leader. She's been a church planter. She's a wife. She is just an incredible advocate for women and ultimately for the kingdom of God. So I found Jen through Instagram when I was reading. I had a friend text me one Saturday morning an article that she had written on the Gospel Coalition, and it was about, it was titled Girl Follow Jesus, and it was just in response to Rachel Hollis's book, Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis, and it was just a really honest article about her feedback on the book and how, as Christian women, we've got to be weary of some of the things that are titled Christian in this world, and we've got to check our hearts. So, Jen, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lexi. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. So we'll start with, why are you passionate about women encountering God's truth and His grace?
Well, I have been in women's ministry now for almost 20 years, and it has been one of the great joys of my life. I love gathering with other women and just seeking the scriptures, seeking the heart of God, seeking what He has to say for us, gathering with them in prayer and just encouragement and edification. I've almost gathered for women's Bible study every single week for 20 years. There's rarely been a week off, and I can honestly say that's just been a gift to me and a means of God's grace for growing me more and more into His image. And I'm so grateful for the women in my life. I think my passion really comes from an awareness and an acknowledgement that we are not self-made, but we have a creator, we have a maker. And not only is He our maker, but He's also our author, our redeemer. He is the one who gives us life and breath and everything else. And so what I see around me in this current age of self, as I call it in my book and in some blogs that I've written, is just this self-sufficiency, a turn to self, a turn to be self-empowered and self-made. But at the heart of that is a lie, and it's an unawareness that we have a good and kind God in heaven who knit us together. Therefore, He knows how He made us. He knows how He wants us to live, what we're for. When we're here to live, you know, we're created on purpose for a purpose, and that's namely for His glory. And we are to be fueled by Him to that end. So what I see in this current cultural context is just a lot of maybe ignorance or denial of that reality. Mm-hmm. But if we have a creator, He has something to say about how we live and move and have our being. And so my heart is that women would know that and that they would thrive because they've met their creator and they walk with Him.
Mm, amen. And I, as I'm hearing you speak about this kind of new culture and new way of kind of self being self-made, I just feel like a lot of pressure, anxiety, some just feeling like you're not enough comes with that. Whereas the gospel, you flip that on its head, and the gospel shares you are enough and you are made with a purpose and you don't have to achieve because God already did it all. He sent Jesus to the cross. And as we're recording this week, it won't come out for a few more weeks after this, but this is Easter week and it is my favorite holiday. So many people get so pumped about Christmas, and I'm like, great, I love Christmas, but Easter, that's the point of the gospel. And so I'm just so excited to chat more with you as someone who's been in women's ministry for so long. This is kind of the beginning stages for me, and I'm so excited to just be chatting with someone who's been doing it for a while and just gain wisdom from you, and hopefully for the listeners as well. So you recently wrote a review of Girl Stop Apologizing, which is Rachel Hollis's latest book. And although I haven't read the book, I did read her first book. But I encountered similar struggles with her brand being self-made and egocentric. So how can you and I, as women influencers and women's ministry leaders, keep ourselves in check?
I think that is a really important question for this age, especially where social media plays a huge role in everything we do. I mean, you don't have to be a podcaster or a speaker or a writer to be an influencer online. Everybody who has an Instagram account or a Facebook account is an influencer because she or he is casting a message to whoever it is that scrolls through their feeds and sees what they have to say. And so it's crucial now that we be thinking through really carefully what images we're posting, what words we're sharing, what goals we're casting, just what it is that we're putting online, because the truth is who we are online is a reflection of who we are in real life. So, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks is what Jesus said. So what is in our heart and what is coming out of our mouths and what is coming out through our thumbs as we're making our latest social media posts? And like I said, after your first question, the reality is that God is the one who gives life and breath and everything else. You know, he says we are not our own. We were bought at a price. So we belong to him. We are his. So we've got to be constantly asking ourselves, whether it's on social media or it's in our living rooms or it's in our workplace or our classrooms, wherever it is we find ourselves day in and day out, am I living by him and for his glory? Is he the one that is fueling me and sustaining me and empowering me? And to what end? And the end is that he would be glorified. So it's really not just social media or just, you know, responding to books or how you work in the business place or whatever. This is the domain of all of life. What is sustaining me and to what end? And hopefully the Lord God is the answer to both of those questions.
Absolutely. And there's scripture that says they will know us by our fruit. And so that is just one aspect of our lives is social media, where there's some points that when we keep repeating certain things, that's either A, pointing to God, or A, pointing against him. And so what are some of these things that maybe are some signs that you begin to be weary of when looking at someone's social media account, and you're like, okay, I see their heart. I see that they're trying, but here's what I think is below the surface. They're posting a picture of their morning devotion, but then this comes along and that's that. What are some of those things where you're kind of, as someone who is, been in ministry for, you know, a couple decades now, what are some of those things that you're seeing?
I think it's so hard to tell the motives of the heart from across the screen. I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's real obvious,
right,
what somebody's getting at, and we don't have to wonder, and we could just call a spade a spade. But other times it is harder to know. And you know, Lexi, I feel that acutely about myself. I feel that every day as a writer. You know, am I writing this blog post or this Instagram post for my glory or for the Lord's glory? Or am I trying to like massage the message to make me look a little bit better? What is in my heart as I'm writing and communicating a message? So I don't say this as somebody who's, you know, observing other people's platforms. I want to say this as somebody who's wanting to scrutinize my own. And I think the truth is we are all exceedingly prone to vanity and to, you know, fame and wanting power and wanting to be seen as somebody who's arrived or somebody who's excellent. We all are. I don't think in the flesh on this side of heaven, anybody is going to ever arrive at the place where they don't wrestle with those motives anymore. So we've got to be scrutinizing ourselves and really asking the Lord, you know, please reveal to me, Father, what is in my heart as I sit down to write this. I have a mission statement as a writer that I have posted in multiple places, but in one, I have it on a big wooden plank above my desk, and it is that I write to honor the Lord and serve the reader. And so everything that I put out there, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or my blog or in my book, is what I'm saying, honoring the Lord, and does it serve my reader? I think those are two important questions. And so I try to keep that mission statement before me. And then in addition to just developing that like theology of why am I doing what I'm doing? In addition to that, I think we all need to have a lot of support and structure in place around us. So it is vital that as Christians, we be a part of the community of God, that we be plugged in to a vibrant local church that champions the Bible and champions the gospel. And that we have women in our life, whether it's in women's Bible study or a small group or whatever, women who can call us out, who do know us really well. You know, we are confessing our sin to them in person across the coffee table to one another, where they know more about what's happening behind that iPhone screen than anybody else. And they can speak to us on, in an intimate way and help us sort of parse out what's going on in our lives and why we may have written something one way or another. But I can't overemphasize the importance of the local church, the local body of believers, Christian women around you that you can be really transparent and authentic with and who are going to help you know what the Word of God says and hear from the Spirit of God and help you as you seek to honor Him with everything that you do online and in person.
That's incredible and really encouraging. And I sometimes when I am referencing how we can make change in our lives for the sake of the kingdom, I bring up Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror because I just think about that song and how we so often want to say the problem with today's world is who's in office, or the problem with today's world is the church doesn't serve me the way that it should, or the problem with today's world is X, Y, or Z. And there's so many, you know, fill in the blank that people will say. But I want to constantly go back to how am I living that is not according to God's will? And how am I, how can I love my neighbor as myself? How can I lay my life down for the sake of the gospel? Mm-hmm. How can I look at myself and make sure I'm examining, you know, every couple months? It's a slippery slope with influence, especially as a Christian, to easily get into that place of, is this for me? And to kind of gain affirmation from others, or is this for Him? And so this is such an important conversation for anyone, even if you're not wanting to be an influencer. You do have influence, whether you like it or not, if it's raising kids or if it's being an example of marriage to your small group or you name it, you have influence. And so these things are so important that we're talking about. And I just think about how often we want to point fingers. And I think that you're so correct in saying that it's about looking at ourselves first and foremost. And then we can be healthy, and then we can become examples of what it looks like to walk this out in a way that looks more like Jesus. Cause we're never going to be perfect, but we can always look more like Him. So, I want to learn a little bit more about you, where you're from, what makes you who you are today. Tell us a little bit about your family. What would you like to share?
Sure. Well, my husband and I just celebrated 20 years of marriage. And when we married, he was in the middle of seminary. I also went to seminary, but didn't finish my master's because I had a baby girl in the middle of that. And we left to serve as missionaries overseas right after she was born. So we lived for about 10 years in Okinawa, Japan, where my husband pastored a church for American military members living there. It was a super sweet season of life where we just learned how to be married, learned how to be a family, learned how to be in ministry. Really wonderful, fruitful years. We had two more biological daughters, and then we adopted a fourth daughter. And when we brought her home, she was 12. So we have four daughters who are currently 21, 16, 14, and 12 years old. They're all about to have birthdays, so they're going to turn those ages this summer. But yeah, house full of ladies. And our oldest recently got married and also had a baby. So I'm officially a grandmother, even though I just turned 40, which feels like life in the fast lane, but it's a full life. So after we lived in Japan, we moved to the Czech Republic, where we were church planters with our current missions organization called Pioneers International. And those were good and hard years as well. We came back to Colorado, where we're from, 3 years ago, because my father was very sick and dying from Alzheimer's and dementia. So we moved back to the States to care for him. And that was my kids' first time living in the United States. So they've lived on three continents in the last, you know, 10 years or so. It's been a wild ride for them as just growing up as third culture kids. So now that we're back in Colorado, we planted a church called Redemption Parker. It's about 2 years old, and we're still involved in missions overseas. We travel quite a bit and do a variety of things with our missions agency, mainly across the continent of Europe. So yeah, we're involved in missions and church planting, and I'm also a writer, and I have my first book coming out next year with Crossway. The title is Enough About Me: Find Lasting Joy in the Age of Self. Hmm. I'm excited to get that into the hands of women. And yeah, that about sums it up. It's a full crazy ride. And I thank the Lord for all of it.
That's amazing. And it sounds like the book is going to be perfect for what we're talking about. And yeah, I'll be excited to share that with the listeners when that comes out. So when we're talking about, this era of self, what does self-love, there's a lot of talk about self-love, self-care, mental wellness and things like that. Sure. So what does that look like in its healthiest form without going overboard of, I was watching, I went to a Christian comedian show yesterday.
Nice.
And he awesome. Was talking about how one of them was talking about how he worked at a YMCA and he had this young gal call out for a mental wellness day, and he was just making jokes, and not that is there's definitely some truth to that, but I think that there's, because anxiety and depression and mental illness is just at it's heightened. I think it's at an overall high, and I would almost say in our country more than others, just because we're so aware and we are we're constantly being I'm trying to think of the word, where there's just so much stimulus around us. And I think it creates this culture of, you've got to get things done. I mean, in college, I was medicated for ADD and really, really had a hard time in college. And then I ended up changing my diet and lifestyle, and it helped me not to have to be on medication anymore. But anyways, there's just all this talk about mental wellness and all of that. So what does it look like to dive into that in a way that, God talks about things like this in the book. What do you think he's saying about this?
Yeah, I do totally agree with you. We're living in an age where I think in some circles, in some Christian circles, it's like self-care is ultimate. It's very important. We must pursue it. In other Christian circles, it's like taboo. It's like a bad word, no self-care, no self-love, no self. And so it's important that we navigate these waters and understand what the terms mean and understand what it is that the giver of life intended for you and for me. I think I just want to answer it in a couple ways. The first is that we live in an age, at least in the United States, of unprecedented secularism. Secularism is on the rise. More and more people do not believe. More and more people say they have no faith. They are declared atheists. I think that is directly related to this age of self, where we prize individualism. We prize self-empowerment, self-realization, self-actualization. So at the same time, we're saying, you determine what is true. You look within and you determine what you think is true and right. And then you live by your truth. And also, you be you. You be what you want to be. Reach for the stars, aim high, go get them. So at the same time we're saying rely on yourself, we're also telling people to achieve great things based on self-empowerment. But at the end of the day, we are all well aware that we get tired, we make mistakes, we run out, we cannot pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be all that it is we want to be. And so I think we're seeing a ton of women, especially, super discouraged, super disengaged, even depressed, as they say, but the world is telling me I can be whoever I want to be, but dang it, I'm tired. And I went to that conference and I heard that speaker and I read that book and it was super empowering and exciting for a couple days. And then the reality of life hit me and I'm exhausted. And so I think what we have to do as Christian women, especially, is return to just some simple biblical truths, just the basics of the faith. And what I often encourage myself and my friends and in my writing is I encourage women to return simply to the Word of God and the people of God and the Spirit of God. And I know that sounds really basic and elementary, and it's like, well, isn't there like a yoga class for that? Like, isn't there a latte that I can drink that's going to make me feel better? But we have to return to the Word of God so that we know who our Maker is, so that we know what our Creator is like, what His character is like, and then how He intends to empower us. And that's by His Spirit and living, abiding, as John 15 says, just abiding in the vine and calling on our Maker in heaven daily and saying, you know what? It turns out I'm not enough. I don't have enough energy. I don't have what it takes. I continue to make this mistake. I'm continuing to fall into this cycle of sin. I'm continuing to be focused on myself. Lord God, please help me. We need our Creator. He is outside of us. He is more powerful than we are and ever will be. And He's the one who brings the change from the inside out. You know, in my community, we are seeing a ton of suicide amongst teen girls. And since 1999, the suicide rate for girls ages 10 to 14 in the United States has tripled.
Wow.
So there are real statistics to back up the discouragement and the depression that we're anecdotally talking about. And I really do believe it's directly connected to this movement of self, where we've said, just look within. Because we're waking up and realizing, I am not enough. I don't have what it takes, but my God is. My Father who knit me together, Jesus who walked this earth, died the death that I deserved to die, and then rose again victorious. It's Him, it's His Spirit in me that helps me to live and move throughout each day. And so my heart and my desire, and what I think the best way for women to provide self-care, is to simply return to the Word, to walk by the Spirit, and then to be immersed in the people of God, in the community of God. And that's not to say, Lexi, that there is not real mental illness out there, and that there is a time and a place for medication and therapy and other more intensive practices to meet people where they're at.
Absolutely.
But I think, so I never want to negate that truth, but I do think a ton of what we're experiencing is something that could be remedied by genuine self-care. And that is remembering who is your Creator and how He created you and abiding in Him. So it's a simple answer. Just return to these basics of the faith and walk by them. And God will renew you and change you and resurrect you from the inside out.
That's phenomenal. I think that is complete truth and wisdom. And I often say when we're lost and lonely, then we have a couple of things to turn to. First is the Scripture. Second is biblical community. And then third is prayer. And what is God
so
speaking
good.
To us? And I think that those things, if we start with those things, we start with prayer, we start getting in the Scripture, we start talking to our biblical community and just reaching out for prayer and encouragement, that we would see changes that we think, you know, maybe this is a mountain, but it's just an anthill. And, and so we are able to gain perspective. And I also think that having older mentors puts so much perspective in our lives. And I am a huge advocate for young women seeking out mentorship from women that are just ahead of them. So if they're in high school, then someone in college or just out of college. If they're right out of college, then someone maybe in their late 20s. And just that next decade or even two decades later, just saying, here's the deal. What you're facing right now, although I don't want to undermine it, it is little compared to what God has for you on the other side of this. If you were able to lay your burdens down and lay your fears down at the cross and leave it there. And that just takes a special person, a special relationship to be able to speak into someone's life in the way that they can receive it. For me, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, so I'm a tough love kind of girl. that's what I loved when I read your article. I'm like, this is awesome. And I read some of the comments, and it was like, this is so harsh. And while there was some things that were, that was it was kind of tough to read as someone that was like, oh, wow, she's going there. And I love that. And, but some people have need a little bit more sugar coating. So if you are a woman listening and you're younger than me, I'm turning 27 next in a month or so. Mm-hmm. And, if you're listening and you want to reach out, please know I would love to speak with you, but I will give you the truth and with a capital T. I don't sugarcoat things, but anyways, going back to what you were saying and the real need for medication and therapy and things like that, I think that is a great way to talk about it. Is these things are real. These things can help. But we have to make sure that we're not just putting a Band-Aid on the issue that is much deeper and sometimes is just some soul care that is needed. Mm. So that's incredible and very encouraging. So how can we as Christian women be countercultural to the current narrative that women can have it all, make all the money, have all the kids without consequences that come from the simple fact that we can't do it all?
Mm. I know that narrative is loud and proud these days. I definitely grew up in an age, though I'm, 13 years ahead of you, Lexi. The mantra of my childhood was, you can be anything, reach for the stars, determine your future and go get it. And that mantra has not stopped. I mean, it's still ringing in my ears now at the age of 40. I still hear it and see it in magazines and books, on shows. It's definitely the popular cultural narrative. And it's one that kind of feels good, right? Because we want to have it all. We don't want to have to miss out on something, whether it's family or career or finances or vacation. We have this FOMO, fear of missing out, and YOLO, you only live once, So like you get it all while you can. And, it's a temptation. It's enticing. We want to believe it. But at the end of the day, again, and I know I've already said this once, we wake up and we realize we are tired. And the truth is one plate or the other is falling. We can't spin them all at an equal pace every day. Somewhere something is missing out. Now, we all definitely have different capacities and different giftings and different skills and different callings, and so comparing ourselves to one another is not helpful because the Lord made each of us different. He has a purpose and a design. And, as Paul says, is there anything I have that was not a gift? So whether any skill or any influence or sphere that I'm a part of was a gift from God above for my good and for his glory. So comparison is a dead end. Comparison just leads to discouragement and is not God's will anyway. He asks us to run our race, the race that he has marked out for us, that we would run it. And I think that what we as Christian women in this era of you can have it all need to remember is that Jesus has simply asked us to abide in him. He has called us to simply be faithful. So we are called to be faithful if we're students, or faithful in our marriage, faithful to our parents, faithful to our children, to our employers, to our neighbors. The two greatest commandments that Jesus said were love God and love your neighbor. Hmm. So how can I be doing that? How can I be faithful in this moment in the place that God has put me? He ordained the times and places that we would each live, it says in Acts 17. So I'm not here in Colorado by mistake, even though I thought I would live in the Czech Republic for, decades. God moved me back to Colorado and I'm here for a reason. So I need to look around and go, what is it that you have for me, Lord? And how can I be faithful to that? Hmm. And trust that the Lord, as he asks us to walk by faith, that he will bear the fruit. And we need to be seeking him on a daily basis with, with his word, by his spirit, with the community around us. And asking, how can we love him and how can we love our neighbor, whether it's in the workplace or in the living room or wherever it is he had us? He's really just calling us to faithfulness, not to have it all, not to be wildly successful in every sphere that pop culture tells us we can, but to be faithful for who he made us to be in the moment and the time that he placed us.
I think that just enables us to take a deep breath when we hear that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your might and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, those are, it's kind of simple. It's very hard to walk it out, but to just digest that those are the only things that we're called to, I mean, it really takes a lot out of, of the pressure that we feel as specifically women. Mm-hmm. I think that, I just have such a heart for women, and I love to encourage women in all walks of life, and just what is God calling you to right now? And I do usually say a quote, you can have it all, just not all at once. But it doesn't mean when I say that, it doesn't mean that you can have it all in a way that says, you know, be worldly and strive for the things that only you see fit for your life. In I don't mean in a material way either, with like the cars and the houses and keeping up with the Joneses. What I mean by that is that if God's put something on your heart, motherhood, marriage, if it's ministry or if it's a certain type of career, nursing, whatever the case may be, I think that we have to realize that we have time for God to live out these things through us, and that it also puts kind of an ease to, for me personally, like I'm about to have my second little one, and I'll have two kids under two, and I know that God's called me to women's ministry, and it may look very different in this next couple of years than it does 10 years from now, and that's okay, and I just need to rely on Him to show me what I can and can't handle and what I have the capacity for and what He's called me to. And I think that for women, we can over extend a yes to so many things, these different banquets and this serving on this board and being a part of this small group and being a part of this life group and serving in the children's ministry and having this project going on and working, making money from home. Like we wear so many hats. And so what is a healthy balance let's talk specifically to mamas. What's the healthy balance of sacrifice of we know that God's called us to this thing, but we sacrifice and we lay it down for our kids to be present with them versus the pursuit of the dreams that God has put in our hearts, and how do we make sure that we're balancing those things in a godly way?
Yeah, well, like you, I had a lot of littles at one time when my third was born. My oldest was three, so there were three ages three and under. And that was crazy. And I remember when I became a mom for the first time, for me, that was really the hardest transition, because I went from being the queen of my castle and ordering my day just the way I wanted it and being very productive according to my to-do list. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there was this little girl who needed me for everything. You know, my life in a very tangible, practical way was not my own anymore. You know, that was spiritually true anyway, but now I was feeling it, physically and practically speaking, that I had no control anymore over how the minutes of my day were going to transpire. And it is hard, I think, especially for women who are driven, who have a high capacity, who really want to accomplish things, who've got, you know, to-do lists a mile long and maybe are optimistic that those things can happen. When babies come on the scene, they really wreck it all. And it's for our good, Lexi. It really is. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. Even with teenagers, you know, it's a different kind of wrecking these days. It's a lot more relational and emotional and late night talks than it was when they were babies. But I think we need to just renew our minds day in and day out and just remind ourselves of the gospel. The gospel, if anything, must bring rest. As we remember that we are saved by grace through faith, that is not of our own doing, so that no one can boast. But while we were still sinners, while we were dead, while we were enemies of the Lord God, He sent Jesus, and Jesus willingly laid down His life and rescued us. We did nothing in that equation. He was our rescuer. He pulled us out and put us, you know, from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And that, Lexi, I would hope, and for me and for you and for everybody listening, I hope that gives just incredible rest, that you don't have to clamor, that you don't have to conjure up your own purpose and your own meaning and your own salvation, and you don't have to get it all done to prove your self-worth. Jesus has already paid it all. Jesus has already laid down his life for you, and you are in him. I think self-sufficiency is just a huge danger and a huge enemy of our souls in this current context. Because when we seek to be self-sufficient, we don't rely on the all-sufficiency of Christ. You know, Christ is, he is supreme. He reigns over all things. And his supremacy is also his sufficiency. You know, Christ is enough. The cross is the answer to every ill, to every heartbreak that's either out in the world or inside our homes. And my desire for myself is that I would remember the gospel daily and rest in the truth that my biggest problem has been solved. My separation from my Creator has been healed by the blood of Christ, and I am his beloved daughter. And when we remember that, I think it can bring us some peace and some contentment and some reminders that we don't have to get it all done. Like, it's not a tragedy that our career is on hold, or that our living room is a mess, or that we're wearing the same outfit for the third day in a row with spit up still on it. You know, these things are temporary, and they are not eternal. But our salvation is eternal, and one day we will reign in heaven on the new earth with all of the saints. And so I think having an eternal perspective is really important. And that just comes out of having a gospel perspective and just resting and knowing that he has numbered our days. He has brought about all of the circumstances of our life. You know, he is sovereign and good, and he knows and he sees, and you don't have to make it all happen. He is faithful and asks you to be faithful as well. And so take a deep breath, enjoy the moment that he has you in, lay it all down as he has laid it all down, and remember the gospel, and remember the rest and the peace that comes from that.
That's phenomenal. And I think that rest is should be our new kind of rallying cry as Christians in this culture, especially for women. I mean, and men too, that are working to provide. And I just had another episode that was recorded, and we were talking about how our economy is set up for a two-income household. And so for women that are looking to stay home with their kids, or looking to make probably less money than they were making before because they're now mamas, and so there's a lot of pressure on families on how to navigate what works best for them. And I just love the reminder of rest. And there's so much talk about rest in the scripture. And the Sabbath is something that I have kind of in this past season just been reminded of the importance of. And it's not an option. It's not a spiritual discipline that you either opt in or don't. It's a commandment, and it's something that God has clearly stated is, and it's not just because he's like, oh, I want you to rest because, you know, it'll feel good. It's because he knows that our souls need it, and that we will be, we will just continue to strive. And there is I think a lot in song lyrics, apparently. Rascal Flatts has a song, and it talks about how Sunday used to be a day of rest, and now it's just another day for progress. And it just breaks my heart that we are living in a world where we, because I think so many things are so accessible to us, we become busier and we fill our calendars and we forget to just abide in him, like you said. Yeah, so it's just a beautiful reminder. And as you were talking, it reminded me of your podcast that you have called All Things that you started this year. And it says, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. So we're seeking to apply his word to what's happening here and now. So if you loved this episode, make sure to go follow and subscribe and write Jen a review on her podcast, because it is incredible the work she's doing. She's also a writer. So if you find her, I'll post all of her information in the show notes. But if you have been encouraged, by her, then follow along as she follows Jesus. And so the last question that I have for you today is, what is your favorite thing about this season?
There's a lot of good things about this season. As I shared my story, you already know that this is a completely unexpected season in our lives. God diverted us in a big way as we saw ourselves living overseas for the rest of our days. And we are very much here, right where God started it all. We're both Colorado natives. And so there has been definitely over the last 3 years, just a need for my husband and I to remember what is true, to remember that God is sovereign and that he is good and that he has us here and now for a reason, and it's for our good and it's for his glory. So as my family has just gotten more comfortable and more just okay and content with the reality that God has us here for a purpose, we have really started to enjoy life together in the United States for the first time as a family. Mm. But I think, you know, what I enjoy the most about that right now is just having teen daughters. Whenever people hear that I have four daughters, you know, they're all like, oh, wait till the teen years. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that for the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, it's so sweet. These girls, by God's grace alone, and they're not perfect, neither am I. Our household is full of sin and repentance and the need to confess on a daily basis. But the Lord has, I think maybe because we lived overseas and we were forced just by culture and nature to be together and to really invest in one another over and above outside activities or outside friends. You know, we were the foreigners that needed one another for so many years. We're just good friends now. We play games together. We chat together. We spend every evening in some way together. And so I think having the time together as a family just to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord and to laugh our heads off and just enjoy good things together. It's been a sweet season. So fear not if the teen years are ahead of you. They can be great.
That's phenomenal. Well, thank you so much for all of your time and your encouragement. And as I was remembering, I also wanted to know, I don't know if you're into the Enneagram, but I talked about being an 8. Are you an Enneagram person? And what is your number?
Well, I have limited knowledge of the Enneagram. I did listen to the audio version of, is it The Road Back to You?
Mm-hmm.
That book. So I have some familiarity, and of course people talk about it all the time. And
right.
My two best friends overseas are both counselors, so they refer to it all the time in all of our text conversations every day. So I think I'm a 7, but that I have to qualify that with, I don't know for sure if I know what I'm talking about, but I think I am a 7.
That's fun. I'm an 8-wing 7, and the 7 is kind of the enthusiast. So very passionate and excited and just wanting adventure and in lots of mostly a lot of passion behind what you do. So that makes sense. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been a pleasure getting to know you and your heart and just the reminder that everything should point to the cross. It's just such a good reminder. So thank you, Jen, for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Lexi. It's been great.
And ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a set of gifts, skills, and passions created by God for his purpose and his glory. So go be his hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for tuning in to the summer series of Passionate and Practical. If you enjoyed this episode, go and write a review. Also, subscribe to make sure that you're up to date on the most recent episodes and share with a friend. Thanks so much and have a great summer.